Texas A&M Investment Management Company is now reconvened. The date is June 11th, 2020, and the time is now 11:20. During the executive session, the board deliberated individual personal compensation matters, including the CEO and Chief Investment Officer, but no action was taken, nor decisions made, and no vote was called for or had by the board in executive session. There are three resolutions in the section we'll need to approve, but first, Vice Chairman Rothrock, please provide the report from the Compensation Committee.
Sure, thank you. The Compensation Committee met via Microsoft Teams video conference and teleconference on June 4th. All members of the committee were present at the meeting. The committee considered five actions at its meeting, three that require further approval by this board. The committee approved the minutes of its March 5th, 2020 meeting, which were approved as drafted. After approval of the minutes, the committee met an executive session to discuss the base salaries for UTEMCO compensation program participants and the CEO for the fiscal year ending August 31, 2021. We discussed the CEO's qualitative performance standards for the plan year ending June 30, 2021, and discussed the amendment and restatement of the plan effective July 1, 2020, including potential changes to the weightings of performance awards for plan participants for the performance period ending June 30, 2021. After the executive session, the committee approved the base salaries for the plan participants and the CEO of $12,153,000 and $828,000, respectively. The CEO's qualitative performance standards was presented to the committee after moving Standard 6 to Standard 1, and the amendments to the plan, which, with the exception of the base salaries for plan participants, are subject to approval by this board. There are three resolutions in Tab 12 that the board needs to act on, Mr. Chairman. Other than action on these resolutions, this completes the report from the Compensation Committee.
Great. Thank you, Vice Chairman Rothrock. We will now consider the first resolution in Tab 12 related to the committee's recommendation regarding the base salary for the CEO for the fiscal year 2020 through 2021 in the amount of $828,000. Is there any further discussion? If not, may I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is approved. Thank you very much. The second resolution relates to the CEO's qualitative performance standards for the UTEMCO compensation program for the performance period ending June 30, 2021. These have been approved by the Compensation Committee and are being recommended for board approval. May I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The resolution is approved. The third resolution relates to the amendment and restatement of the UTEMCO compensation program effective July 1st, 2020. The plan amendment and restatement requires the further approval of the Board of Regents. The majority of changes are to the tables to the plan, adjusting the weightings of the performance awards available to plan participants. The changes to the plan document are being made to remove obsolete language, add clarification, and minor editorial changes. Is there any further discussion on the amendments to the plan? If not, may I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is approved. Thank you. The final agenda item is a discussion related to UTEMCO's budget for the next fiscal year. The budget must also be approved by the Board of Regents. Britton Rich, please present this item.
I think I'll let Mr. Hall present this. Okay, so we are on page 215 of Diligent. This is the executive summary of what we're asking for. As you know, we had significant growth last year in the company, and that creates an interesting and a long-term strategic plan, and that kind of creates two goalposts against which we should compare this year's budget. So the total budget versus the strategic plan, what we're proposing is about $62.8 million versus a $64.2 million projected budget. So we're 2.1% below forecast. We come in at around 13 basis points of assets under management for our cost. That compares very favorably relative to the peer universe. This was calculated on a lower AUM. AUM has bounced back up, so that's gone back down. But I think relative, everybody else is going to have the same impacts up and down. So we're going to still stay at the bottom end of our peer cost universe. When you break it down into the two components of the budget, we have the UTIMCO services costs and the UTIMCO direct costs. So the services costs are our salaries and our office leases and other IT costs. That's projecting $55.6 million, which is slightly below the strategic plan. And the direct funds cost is below forecast by about $860,000, or 11%. So that's against the strategic plan as a frame of reference. And the other frame of reference is the budget fully annualized. So in this case, we are going up. We're going up to 62.8 versus 58.5, and that's a 7% increase. The key issues here, some of which we've talked about right already in the performance in the compensation discussion. One is the performance compensation, and that's driven by the service standards and the way that the plan is designed, and the elimination of deferrals, and also the deferral window shortening. The second thing is that we have some recommended cybersecurity investments that come about from the assessment that we had done earlier this year, EY. So those two things combine to be about, you know, 2.7 million of the increase. If you look at the requested increase relative, excluding those two items, instead of being up 7.3, if you just take out the EY costs, that's 4.7. And if you take out the EY and the performance comp bump, you're down at 2.1% increase for the year. This next page, so flipping to 216, is the detail. I think the key line items to focus on, and there's footnotes that relate to each of these things, right? Data and subscriptions. We felt that UTIMCO's overall risks and analytics systems lag the market, and that we needed to make some investments here. So we have continued to do that in terms of adding some new systems. Additionally, as we add people, you know, Bloomberg charges per seat. So there's some incremental costs related to that. So that's why that line item is up about 17%. Travel obviously is going to go down, so that's a good offset. We're just not going to be traveling as much, at least for the fall. We've talked about the expansion space and what the expected costs are for that. So those are the key line items up in the UTIMCO costs. And then in the direct fund costs, when we put this plan together last year, Joan had yet to finalize the agreement with BNY Mellon. So we thought it was going to be about $5 million this year, and she actually managed to extract another $800,000 worth of value. So I learned my lesson never to try and negotiate against Joan.
No, ever.
And then in the other costs, there is the cost of adding the bearer risk system that we talked about in the risk committee, and that's offset by some other things, efficiencies that we found in terms of some of the legal fees we've been able to reduce those, and also some background investigation fees, because we're not hiring as, because of our premier list framework, we're not hiring as many new managers, so we're not investing as much in doing the background checks that we've had to do in the past. So we've been able to kind of bring that down and make that a net neutral. So that kind of brings it to the bottom line. The next several pages go into detail, which I'm happy to go into if you would like, but
anyone have any questions on the following few pages? I mean, I think you're all up the curve on it pretty reasonably. Nope. Everybody good? Okay.
The last piece that we have to talk about is page 220 in Diligent. So this is separately the capital budget. So we talked about the operating expense budget. This is a capital budget of what we need to invest. So if you look at the middle column there, FY21, we have some investments that we need to make in order to, this is the first line item, server room, telecom, and AV equipment. We've got to make some investments related to some of the EY recommendations. We have to make some, our phone system is pretty antiquated and need, needs to be reinvested in. And there was one, oh, we've got some aging servers that are no longer under the kind of update protocols. Of, they're just kind of discontinued. So Microsoft is no longer providing updates and service for those. So we've got to replace those because that's a big security vulnerability. So that's also in there. Then we have these two next line items. So the computer equipment and software licenses and the leasehold furniture. That's largely related to the expansion space. We walked through yesterday, and because we weren't happy with those numbers, we walked through yesterday and we think those numbers are gonna, we took at least 250 out. So we're probably more at 300. So the total, instead of a 1.2 number down there, we're looking at about 950 that we'd like to ask for the capital for the budget for the year. Joan, can I hand it off to you on the allocations, the hard math?
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, basically what we do is we charge each one of the funds, the PATH, the GEF, and the ITF. And so really what you're seeing is just a dollars and basis points of how much we're going to take out of the funds. So the PATH will be almost 28 million, the GEF is 17, and the ITF will be 10. So we'll do the 55.6. So, and this is based on, the basis points are actually done based on as of our April 30th NAV. And so the direct funds then, we just take those out of the funds as we need those. We do not pull them out into the UTEMCO accounts and then pay for them. So we just take them out as we need them. So this is a part of the IMSA that we need to show how we're taking it out of the funds. And then the cash reserves is just, that's another part of the MSOT where we can keep 25% of our operating budget. So we take our cash and then we kind of add in things and take out things like the accounts payable and capital budget expenditures. We kind of add that back in because we need dollars to cover that. So at the end of all of this, at the end of August, we are projecting that we would have about cash reserves of 13 million, which is a little bit under our what we could have reserved. So we do not need to rebate anything back to the funds. When these dollars, and we've had this before, when these dollars, our reserves would get too big, we would return those back to the funds. Because you just, especially when it comes to performance comp, you just don't know what that's going to be. So at different times, we'll send them back. And so what's happening this year, because we're going to have to pay out some of the leasehold, we're not asking any additional dollars. If you remember when we did this original thing, we had to ask dollars, but this time we have dollars in our bank account, so we're not asking for any additional real dollars to be taken from
the system.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
That's it.
Any questions for Richard Jones? Okay. That being the case, if not, we'll move to the resolution to approve the UTEMCO budget for the 2020-2021 fiscal year. May I have a motion to approve the resolution?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is approved. Okay, before we adjourn, Brett's got 10 or 11 interns that he wants to pipe into the meeting.
Yes,
and
have a little extra time. So let me make two quick statements, and then I want to let these young people introduce themselves very briefly. The first statement is we've just gone through the most difficult time that a fund can go through, the most difficult market that's been around for 50 years. And when difficult things happen, you know, who you are is revealed. And one of the first priorities this board had and Timco had and the system had was alignment. And so we were totally aligned going in. The second thing was that we would be prepared, you know, and it would be transparent. And so we were prepared, came in, and that was a massive help. And the third is that we would only hire A players and we'd establish a culture of integrity and professionalism. And we thought we had it, but you never know until the time really comes. And I just want to thank all of you and thank all of the people who work for UTEMCO and the system and all of our clients for just, you know, really professional, effective, you know, behavior during a time when a lot of systems would have fallen apart and some have. So for everybody, I just want to thank you, just personally. One of the reasons that we're able to come through it in addition to alignment is, you know, we do have a strong culture now. It's called RIGHT. So we do, I won't go through it now, but we do the right thing. So it was pretty easy to figure out what the right thing was in a lot of cases. We have a code of conduct in terms of how you're to behave. And we're very clear on our purpose. We have three purposes. Number one is to eradicate poverty through higher education. To fund world-class research, where we're creating one new company, helping to create one new company every 6 days, and to help cure and care for cancer patients and other people with debilitating diseases. So our purpose was very clear, very established, and people feel pretty passionate about doing it. So going the extra mile, the extra effort, you know, people don't understand why it would be needed. I want to go back to that first one, though, eradicating poverty through higher education, because our nation right now is in some conflict, you know, related to things that are racial and that have been a problem for our country for quite a while, and now things are breaking out, all over the country. And so we're seeing some wonderful things and we're seeing some terrible things. You know, we saw a terrible thing in terms of the abuse of power by a few men. We're seeing a terrible thing by a small percentage of people hijacking the message that peaceful, law-abiding citizens are trying to portray. But we need to remember that we can't allow the largest voices to be the ones that are at the extremes. You know, the voices of the ones who are peacefully protesting with a message that it needs to be heard, need to be listened to. And anyone in our country who abuses their power, you know, to anyone in general, but particularly to those who have less power, should be treated in such a way that that's just not condoned. So how do we fit in? That first category of eradicating poverty through higher education. I was looking at some stats, and our university, I'll just use the University of Texas as an example. Every single student, first of all, we serve up to 40,000 students who are in the bottom 20% of economic strata. Students who are capable, who are hard workers, who have high integrity, and just never had access to these great universities, University of Texas and Texas A&M. Both universities now are providing, you essentially can come to these schools for free if you qualify to get in, if your economic strata is just happens to be $60,000 or less. So up to 40,000 students who from lower income levels are being allowed, but we're removing the obstacles to their capability to get access to this higher education that we know makes such a huge difference in their lives. The difference between someone who gets a college degree and someone who doesn't is $1 million over the course of their lifetime. And it's also the launching pad for most to a higher standards of living for themselves, for their families, and for their communities. And here's a stunning stat for you. If you take every Ivy League school, if you look at each one of them, you take every Ivy League school and you say how many underprivileged students are attending your universities, and you add them all up, we are more than they are combined. Times 20. Take them all together and all their words and all their rhetoric, and I'm sure they're doing good work, but we are serving 20 times more of these young people than they are combined. And that's the point of our public universities. And it feeds right into our purpose. And so I'm just so glad that everybody is here, you know, shares that purpose. And with that, you know, we've got 10 young people here who are also going to share our purpose. And I just thought you might enjoy meeting them. They're just going to do 1 or 2 minutes. And I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I think they may come up there. Or they may just be heard. How's this going to work?
They're going to come up on screen. So, yeah, we're ready for you guys.
Yeah. Hey, Britt, I'll start. Hello, all. My name is Yasin Ahmed. I'm originally from Beaumont, Texas. I'm currently a rising junior at the University of Texas at Austin, studying business honors and finance. Nice to meet you all.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vin Chatterjee. I'm originally from Dallas, Texas, and I'm currently a junior finance student at the McComb School of Business. Nice to see you all.
Hello, everyone. This is Warren Chen. I'm from Dallas, Texas as well, and I'm a rising junior at UT Austin, majoring in finance.
Hi, y'all. My name is Luke Dodson, and I'm from the Austin area, majoring in finance at Texas A&M University.
Hi, everyone. My name is Haley Hefner. I go to Texas A&M University, and I'm majoring in mechanical engineering and finance.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Craig Kraskowski. I'm originally from Chicago, and I am a second-year MBA at UT.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting us sit in today. My name is Logan Lee, and I'm a senior at Texas A&M studying finance.
Hi, everybody. My name is Natan Patel. I'm originally from Houston, Texas, and I'm a rising senior at UT Austin studying accounting and history. Thanks for letting us join today.
Hello, everybody. My name is Andy Cerna. I just finished my 4th year at Texas A&M. I'm a finance major from San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, everyone. My name is Megan Shaw, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. I'm an incoming business honors junior at UT, majoring in finance. Thank you so much for your time today.
Is that it? All right. So all the problems we thought, we go through all these problems, and oh, my goodness, what's going to happen in the world? These are the people who are going to solve it. There are great, talented, high character, wonderful young people coming up behind us. And we're just going to make sure that they're geared and that they're armed and ready to go. And you just ought to know.
And I love it. Every one of them's an Aggie or a Longhorn, right?
Pretty much. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Or it should be.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. It's really, it's a great purpose. So thank you, guys. All right. Any other discussions, issues, questions? All right, if there's no further business, I will adjourn the meeting. The time is now 11:44. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Bye. Bye.